delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right, it's the Steve Grimmer Show on a Wednesday, digging deep today because I want to know, you know, with Wurtsmith, Grayling, Selfridge, Sawyer, Kellogg, Alpine, and the list goes on of contamination sites in Michigan for PFAS, PFC, PFOA, PF, you fill in the blank. We've discovered the problem, but I want to ask you, Bob Delaney, who you've spent your career at the DEQ, I want to know, how big do you think this problem is in Michigan? And what about places, I mean, let me ask you this. You said that, for example, Fort Custer has not been tested. You said that, right?
Yes.
All right. So have you guys, to your knowledge, have you tested a military facility that has not tested positive thus far?
No, everywhere we've tested, it's been positive.
Every military base is positive for this contamination.
Yeah. Well, we've focused on Air Force bases so far, or Air National Guard, until Camp Grayling came along. And that was
but
an
your,
Army.
Your but assumption yeah. would be
oh, yeah.
Navy stations?
Yeah.
Coast Guard?
Yeah, it's very possible. Right.
And you haven't seen one test negative yet.
Right. But Michigan has a lot of other potential issues. One of
well, let me hear those.
Okay. Platers, for instance, they used it in plating, and we found it at a couple platers already.
Platers being?
People that put, you know, chrome, you know, the old chrome bumpers and stuff.
Well, let me ask you something, because one of the places we saw on the map when we were doing our research after we started to explore this story was at the River Rouge plant for Ford Motor Company. It was bright red in the tree swallow study.
Oh, yeah.
For PFCs, the tree swallow studied around where the river comes into the Detroit River there. Very high levels. Would that right. make sense then in correlation with the auto manufacturing facility of the Ford River Rouge plant?
Yeah, it's one of the things. We had 2,000 platers in Michigan. So if you figure 2,000 platers, depending on obviously when they went out of business or whatever, but you'll find many of them use these chemicals. And so because we were a big industrial state and we did so much with metal, we're going to have quite a few sites. And like I said, we've already found it from two different platers in the state that we've looked at. But then the second largest consumer of AFFF was the oil industry. Oil, fuels, pretty obvious reason why. Well, we had 51 refineries in Michigan. So refineries, that's 51 different potential places. Then, of course, you're finding about the tanneries. How many tanneries did we have in the state? I don't know. You know, the potential.
So do tanneries
really
still use that chemical?
Probably some form of it. You know, I mean, right now they're going to what's called Gen X, which is a...
Well, because here's the reason I asked that. The second biggest tannery in America still operates in Michigan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
News you can use. I'm not going to out them right here, but the second biggest tannery operating in the United States today is right here in Michigan. Hmm. And so I would wonder, you know, as they do, you know, leather from a variety of places, how that would play out.
Sure. And I don't know if we had carpet manufacturers, but obviously carpeting has Scotch Guard or had Scotch Guard, the old formula in it.
Sure.
Well, yeah, the potential is just really huge.
So you've got 51 plating or 51 refineries,
mm-hmm.
2,000 plating facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got this Gen X, which my lovely producer just handed me a note here. You've met Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Gen
X is lovely.
Doesn't filter. Is that correct? It doesn't filter out in the process the way that some of these older compounds. Is that?
That's correct. Yeah, they.
Then, frankly, what the hell do we do?
Well, that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I wrote those recommendations, was that people have looked at this and it's too big, it's too expensive. We really just don't have the capacity to deal with this kind of problem. In my opinion, as far as the way things are currently. You know, I always believe that if Americans put their minds to it and recognize their problems, and they'll accomplish what they need to accomplish. But we haven't recognized the problem. So anyway, what we do is, one of the things I have pushed is to make sure that our young people, especially young men and women, not be exposed to chemicals. Get out there and make sure they're not, as much as we can, eliminate industrial chemicals in our food supply and our drinking water. Go at it from that end, because if you try and just clean up everything, it's going to take billions. Probably just Michigan's going to take billions to try and clean these all up. They're so expensive. You have to, the only treatment we right now have for groundwater or surface water would be to put it through activated carbon or reverse osmosis systems. those systems are expensive to operate. And so if every plume is huge and you got to treat every plume that there is, you're just talking about billions of dollars. And the way the whole environmental business is set up, where it's the good guy versus the bad guy and going after businesses and all that, just won't function for addressing something this big and this costly.
And it's certainly not limited to Michigan, because as I look at the most contaminated DOD sites, Camp Lejeune considered to be the dirtiest of the dirty, and one of the most famous, you know, military right. facilities, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, right? I mean, and it's the right. worst of the worst.
Right.
So every state faces, every state that has a refinery, every state that has a military base, every state that, you know, has an airport. I think that's every state.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's everywhere. Like little New Hampshire, which really wasn't an industrial might. If you go out on the web, you'll find out they're finding it in a lot of places. And they're not like Michigan, where we have a huge industry.
No, but I saw a picture. I saw a picture that I showed to Ivy here a couple of days ago that I thought was heartbreaking. And I saw a picture from 1988 when I happened to be working out west, and the big forest fires of Yellowstone National Park, and they coated all of the buildings with foam.
Oh, yeah.
They coated all of the buildings in Yellowstone National Park in the summer of 1988 to protect them from the wildfires. And so all of that foam, all of these chemicals went into, you know, America's National Park, the crown jewel of national parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fire, you know, the up at Escoda, they had to put out a forest fire that was coming up towards their schools. And so the Air Force came over, helped them out, put out that fire with foam. So we now have a plume there. And that's the other thing. Like we had a crash up at Wordsmith in like 85. They put it out with foam. That plume, all the fuels have gone away. They just naturally attenuated. But the plume from the PFASs are still there, still one of the hottest spots. So you're looking at something like, well, I don't
from
know,
one crash, it? One time.
One
right.
crash.
We got to leave it. We got to hold right there. Bob Delaney, Environmental Specialist, Department of Environmental Quality. I know you had some reluctance in doing this, but we thank you thus far. It's a Wednesday on the Steve Gruber Show. We're going to take a break.